Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitchell Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. That means it's 11 a.m. in the Metroplex. We're going to the Metroplex. If you're unfamiliar with what that means, that is the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth area. Newey Scruggs is an absolute G, one of the leading voices on the Dallas Cowboys. NBC down in Dallas joins us now. Newey, what's up, bud? How are you?
Oh, hey, life is good. Good to talk to you here.
It's good to talk to you. Now, you and I text pretty frequently. I know how you feel, but maybe we have to choose our words differently here because we're on public airwaves. What do you make of this Dallas Cowboys season, sir?
Boop show, baby.
Where does most of the blame fall with this, Nui?
Derry.
All right. That was very quick.
How?
I mean, hey, I said on the air, the GM ain't been GMing.
All right, so I look at this, and I don't know if you saw this. The Commanders do week-by-week captains, and they just announced their captains for Sunday's game, and it just so happens to be three dudes that were on the Cowboys last year. I think Dan Quinn leaves, Joe Witt leaves, Fowler, Armstrong, Biadasz, Igbinogheni. Like, there was a serious exodus from Dallas to Washington last year, and I think above all else, they lost their sense of physicality. Does that seem like a fair assessment?
I would go with depth. I mean, first off, Tyler Biadasz was a good player here. He got $10 million a year. And looking at where they were going with their salary cap, I would not have paid Tyler Biadasz that money considering where they were at as a team and the way they valued him. So he had more value to Washington than he had in Dallas. His replacement has not been as good as him, but his replacement that they went with was the guy who never played center in college. So there's an adjustment there. As far as Fowler and Armstrong go, these are two really good depth pieces, but they were not starters here, and the Cowboys did not replace them. And a lot of people are seeing how good they were. Like, Armstrong was a really good player at Kansas. I always think he's an underrated guy. I thought he was more valuable than Harry absolutely loved and ended up losing a couple years ago. But, you know, DQ knew how to take the pieces that he had here and added them to Washington. But the Cowboys didn't backfill them at all very well. Losing Joe Witt Jr. hurt. And I said right now, man, you cue up that tape from Remember the Titans when homeboy said, look, they better not gain another yard. Remember forever the night they played the Titans. Like, Joe Witt Jr. going to tell that. Make sure the Cowboys remember forever the day they played this Commanders defense, because he's not happy that he did not get the job. I think Mike McCarthy wanted to give him the job. I don't think Jerry Jones wanted him to have the job that he wanted Mike Zimmer. So believe me, Joe Witt Jr. about to go pull a Dan Campbell and unload the kitchen sink on the Cowboys.
A lot of times, assistant coaches have a bigger hole on a team than the head coaches. And when you lose those, you lose some of that leadership quality. Did that happen with guys like Joe and even Dan?
here's it. All right, understand this. Mike Zimmer can coach. I love you didn't give the carpenter the tools he needed.
Uh-huh.
You know, this defense was built more about the scheme of what DQ had, which is why Joe Witt Jr. would have made more sense to keep. They go with Zimmer, who's running a different type of defense. You've already got some guys here who don't like what was going on here. They'll openly tell you how much they miss DQ. So this where it goes back into Jerry. Jerry wanted something that I don't think the head coach really wanted, and I think he made a move that didn't fit exactly what he should have done to keep the continuity of the team that he had.
Well, and Nui, this is my guess, but I think getting to know Joe a little bit since he's arrived here, and he didn't hide the fact that he thought he was overdue to be a D coordinator. And I think it would have resonated with the players in that Cowboys locker room if they gave Witt that job.
But he earned the job.
Yeah, okay? I agree.
He earned the job. And but this is where I said my problem. The GM had been GM, and the GM didn't realize that he needed to kind of keep the continuity. They did not fill the depth back in pieces. Then you had the injuries to the guys that you thought were going to come in here. It was not a good move, which is why, you know, then everybody else is left on a 1-year deal. They're not gonna be back. If anything, Joe Witt came out better because he's now with DQ, where you have more job security than you would have been here. He'd been to DC here, not saying that he would have necessarily saved it, but you know, these guys here who are coaching are gonna be out of jobs here at the end of the year. They're not gonna be back.
Yeah, I agree. Wow. Talking with our friend Nui Scruggs here. You can follow Nui at N-E-W-I Scruggs, S-C-R-U-G-G-S. Let's try to talk a little, because I do want to ask you about Daniel Jones. I think that's kind of interesting. But let's talk specifically about this game. Last night we watched the Steelers lose to the Browns. The Browns are having a bad season. There was snow. It was just one of those wild NFL games that nobody sees coming except me, and then it happens. What is the path to the Cowboys showing up Sunday and spoiling a party for the Commanders?
There is no path. Well, why are we doing this? I mean, really, why are we doing this? Just because they're going to get Deron Bland back and Marshawn Lattimore, they can't run the football, okay? They can't stop the run. There's not going to be – if anything, he's like, hey, how do you keep this thing close? I mean, you had Houston here on Monday night, and Houston didn't play a clean game, and they steamrolled the Cowboys. This is not a good team. Look at Atlanta last week. They go to Denver, and they get demolished. Atlanta clobbered the Cowboys. This Cowboy team not good right now, okay? They're just not. And God bless Micah Parsons, but you go on a podcast about we're a good team. Where? How? No, you're not. The ship be sinking, man. And I'm all about being transparent. And look, they talk about the seven stages of grief. The final stage is acceptance, okay? Uh-huh. Some of the Cowboys aren't there yet. Jerry clearly isn't there already. But this thing is bad, okay? So if you can't run it, you can't stop the run, how are you winning games? Your offensive line is compromised. Zach Martin may not play, and if he does play, he's clearly not the guy he used to be, the future Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence Steele at right tackle, dudes are making the Pro Bowl playing him right now, swimming, spinning, doing whatever. I mean, he's a turnstile. Your center's a rookie. Your left guard, Tyler Smith, left the game last week. He was banged up. Your left tackle, Tyler Guyton, who on one play allowed a sack and then fumbled the ball when he had it, was returned for pick six. He's not been good this year. How are you going to win a game? You're not. And then you got Cooper Rush back there. God bless Cooper Rush. He's a backup quarterback. People are like, oh, man, Cooper Rush is better than Dak. I'm like, guys, he's a quarterback. He's not a magician.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Not. At this point in time, the Cowboys' best road to a victory will be Thanksgiving Day against the Giants.
Yeah. It's fascinating because I don't think Cooper Rush is the problem. He's the backup. I've watched with my own eyes Cooper Rush beat Washington. It's not like that can't happen.
That was a horrible Washington team, too.
For sure. No, here, they seem to have honestly quit. Like, I've never seen a receiver show up his quarterback more frequently or more obviously than what CeeDee Lamb is doing to Cooper Rush and kind of what he was doing to Dak.
He was doing that to Dak.
He was doing it to everybody. Parsons seems disinterested. Is there a dude in that locker room that's like, yo, we're professionals. We got to snap out of this? Or is it just gone?
I'll push back on the quit, okay? They didn't quit. I was around when they fired Wade Phillips and when I did see quit. So it's not quit there. At the end of the day, you're just not good, okay?
Yeah.
You're not good. You got guys who aren't Westbrook. You got some guys that don't exactly believe in the defense, and there's a buy-in issue here a little bit. But a lot of what they thought this team would be, they've overvalued. I thought Mike Lombardi did a great job on his podcast talking about how, hey man, the Cowboys overachieved last year. And then you get the GM who didn't realize how much depth was gone. Oh, we're going to go with these young guys. We're going to coach them up. Jerry sells a lot of hopium, and he even believes in the hopium. And that's not what you need to be doing. A general manager should say, you know what, the glass is half full. The water's dirty. We may need to change it out. And I don't know if the glass is cracked. That's what GMs do, but Jerry's the owner, and Jerry's the optimistic guy who says, you know, no, the glass is more than half full. This water we just poured it in there yesterday is clean, and I love the glass because I just washed it. You can't have that same guy doing two things because the owner ends up beating the general manager every time.
Sure.
The Cowboys are a team that has issues from the way they were constructed, and now we're seeing it all fall down. But they can't beat good teams. They can only beat bad teams, which is why they can beat the Giants. Washington's a good team. Washington also knows they need a win. You want to get to 8 wins. You want to get yourself to 10 so you make the playoffs. So I don't think this is going to be a close game at all because we haven't seen the Cowboys play a close game. Hell, the last game they won was against Pittsburgh on the road.
That's crazy.
They ain't won a home game all year long. This is a flawed team, guys. This is a bad team.
Who else besides CeeDee Lamb will they be targeting? Because they seem to try to throw the ball to him every damn play.
Say one more time.
They try to throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb every play. Who else on that team can be a big threat?
You know, we look at the touchdown that Kevontae Turpin had, and you kind of ask yourself, okay, hey, Mike, why didn't you go back to him? Why aren't you using him more? This is a kid I've watched play since he was in college at TCU, so I don't really understand some of the things that they're doing offensively. It's been a problem. We knew at training camp, Clarence Hill of All City Dallas, he called it CD and the maybe. And that's what it's been all year long. It's the maybe. So Brandon Cooks is coming back this week. We'll see what he does. He needs to get some tape out there since he's a free agent. So maybe Cooks can do something. But at the end of the day, you can talk about the receivers, but if you can't block, does it matter? If you can't establish the run and you're behind 10 points, everybody knows you got to throw, does it really matter?
How bad was their assessment on that running back room? You let Pollard walk, you bring Zeke back, you bring Dalvin Cook in, and I don't even think Dowdle's a bad player, but he ain't an RB1 that can kind of command a real run game.
He's not an RB2, okay? He's the kind of guy that on most teams is going to be your third dude. And this was, once again, McCarthy cut Zeke. All right, they cut him, and they brought in Jeff Blasco to run the running back's room, who'd never run a running back's room in his life. Mm. So they bring him in, and then you go bring Zeke back. That's a Jerry move. It didn't work. He was shot. This is not a move that you make if you're a forward-thinking general manager. You're trying to sit out here and turn back the clock. It ain't 2016 anymore. He's not who he used to be. But Dalvin Cook came in after the season, after training camp. This whole thing was bad from the get-go. Just like the receiving corps, CD and the maybe. It was bad from the get-go.
Right.
The D-line, bad from the get-go. But they kept on, we like our guys, we like this, we like that. Then, of course, Jerry sells the hopium. It's marketed just real good. 12 wins the last 3 years. We all bought into this, and we shouldn't have. I've been saying from the start, guys, man, they don't block. They don't block, and they can't stop the run. Nothing was fixed. Green Bay took their soul. In January, man, they took it, and it ain't been got back since. So this is going to have to be a whole new coaching change and see what they do and how do they figure out their bad salary cap situation going forward. This thing could be down in 25. Right now, it's not looking good. What's the strategy? There you go. For the Cowboys and the Giants, that's the question asked. What is your strategy? Washington's got a strategy right now. And that's why they're winning games, and DQ's bringing that there. There's not a strategy with the Cowboys right now. So it's Dallas week, but you ain't going to have much fun unless you're just like, hey, man, we just beat the mess out of these guys, and it's fun for you. But it ain't the same. It's not going to be a game.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, Nui, I think there's enough people here in the Washington area that if they beat the mess out of Dallas, that will be
they
fun.
They will love it.
All right, listen. Clearly, you feel that Sunday is a no contest. But let's talk about kind of what happens next.
That scares me.
Cooper Rush is playing, starting. What's up with Trey Lance and with Daniel Jones released? Now, they can't sign him till Monday because nobody's going to pick up that contract. You think Jerry calls Danny Dimes?
I think Danny Dimes wants to come here behind that line.
I don't know what his options are at this point, but yeah, that's a fair point.
Well, for who, for what? I mean, the first thing I do if I'm Daniel Jones, let me go try to find somebody that's going to make the playoffs. That's what I would be doing. Coming to the Cowboys, no. They can't run it. They can't block it. I don't want it. Why? Why get beat up more? He also doesn't know the offense. And that's another thing there. You know, you just can't bring a guy in. Hey, man,
right.
Do you know this offense? Here's the deal with Trey Lance. The Cowboys need to figure out what he is. Because the Cowboys played Monday night and you got to turn around and play early Sunday, Cooper Rush is going to start. Then you got an early game on Thursday. So Cooper Rush will start. Think of it as a baseball game. Cooper will go out there and be a starter. They get shellacked again. You're going to see Trey Lance get into the football game. And I think that's the way they're going to do it. Come December, then, you know, once they go to the acceptance stage of grief, then I think that's where we see Trey Lance get out here and play and see what he can do. But at the same time, man, Trey Lance goes out there, man, he's an interception machine. So, you know, bro, it's rough time. It's like Dusty Rhodes said, baby, it's hard times, baby. It's hard times.
Hard times.
We're talking with our friend Nui Scruggs, NBC down in Dallas. Give him a follow at Nui Scruggs. Obviously, things are going sideways for the Cowboys. They're 3-7. Jerry's talking about the location of the moon. Like, things are falling out of the sky at Jerry World. Nothing's going right.
Moving forward, though, Nui, what coach do they go after?
And does his name rhyme with Leon?
We've heard the Deion stuff. We've heard about Belichick. Will Jerry go with either of those two guys?
All right. First off, the level of embarrassment may determine the level of coach.
Oh.
Hey, this thing keeps getting worse because, like, you already saw empty seats Monday night. I know people I talked to at the stadium who said, man, I can't move my Thanksgiving Day tickets. People don't want them. And then December, and I've seen this before when the Cowboys get bad, people want to sell them off because you'd rather go ahead because you bought the money. You'd rather go ahead and try to sell them to get yourself some Christmas cash. People aren't exactly trying to buy it. It's not like the Bengals in Tampa Bay are going to get these fan bases that are going to want to come in here and buy some Snickers. Snatch these tickets up. Philadelphia may, you know, Washington may, but, you know, it's going to be tough with some of these other games. So how bad does it get? Fans are already blaming Jerry. He knows that. That's why I got into it a little bit with my boys over 105.3 The Fan on the radio show. And he's like, you know, he's supposed to be supporting me. He's like, no, not really, Jerry. It's not our job. So as far as the coach goes, throw out Deion, all right? And I hate this because Michael Irvin knows better because he's friends with Deion. Deion has said consistently, I don't want to coach the pros. I like being in college. I like working with young men. So he's not coming here, okay? Not happening. As far as the Belichick thing goes, Belichick made a lot of money. Mike McCarthy makes $5 million. College coaches make that money.
Uh-huh.
And the good college coaches double that money. So Jerry paying is one thing. And if you bring in Bill Belichick, one, are you going to pay him? Two, are you ready to see Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels come in here? Because he's going to bring his crew together.
Oh, yeah.
So that's and he's going to want control. Bill is not going to want to go to his press conference afterwards and know that Jerry's right out here talking while he's talking, and there's more people listening to Jerry than Bill.
Yeah.
Nope. Bill's going to have a problem on Tuesday mornings and Friday afternoons when Jerry gets on the radio to go ahead and get his state of whatever, whatever, and giving away secrets. Telling who's going to start, who's going to not start, that kind of stuff. So the chances of Bill Belichick is going to be interesting. Now, Bill has liked Jerry for a long, long time. They get along.
Okay.
But as far as that, I don't know. Does Jerry want more offense? Does he feel like he needs to have somebody that can work, you know, with Dak Prescott to help get back? I don't know where he goes, but I think the level of embarrassment, how bad does it get? How bad did he get to be able to sell the Hopium to the fan base? Because right now he can't sell that Hopium. They give
like
off that
Hopium.
They're fooled to us. They dying of it, man. So that's why you do. That's what Parcells got here. Because after 3 seasons with Dave Campo, he had to sell the Hopium again. And
right.
Parcells brought it to him. And, oh, by the way, Jerry was trying to build a stadium, and Bill Parcells had gone through a divorce, and Bill Parcells needed the money. And Jerry needed Parcells. I don't know if he needs that kind of match again, but the fans are mad at Jerry now.
Huh. Last one from me, Nui, and I don't think this is happening, but I'm at least curious because my boy Mitch Tischler always brings it up. I got a text. I got a Texas guy for you. You think Jerry would call Kingsbury?
Bro, I like Cliff, man. I do. I like Cliff.
Cliff is a likable dude. The more you get to know him, he's an easy guy to like.
Yes, I had this conversation yesterday. I'm like, here's the problem. You know, people want to forget what happened at Texas Tech as the head coach and what happened with him at Arizona. Some guys are good coordinators. That's what they do. Being a leader of the team and leading all facets is a whole different thing.
Yes.
I look at Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn is that guy. He can affect everybody on the roster. Cliff is a guy, man, just leave him over there, run your offense, and that's what you do. As far as running the whole team, I don't see them doing that. And, oh, by the way, you know, your quarterback here is pretty developed. You just need to get your quarterback some help. I think of Dak Prescott. I like to think about Jared Goff. Give Dak the kind of help they've given Jared Goff up there, and you'll see it. You'll see the quarterback playing well. I mean, last year the guy was second in the MVP voting. So you want to bring in Cliff really to kind of work with a younger quarterback and get your offense going. But no, I don't see that happening there right now. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, what's the level of embarrassment? If this team just wins two games down the stretch and the fans aren't showing up, then Jerry may have to make a move and go get somebody more established to come in here and say, hey, look, we need this. I mean, think about it. You hire Cliff Kingsbury tomorrow, that fans ain't running to go buy tickets.
Right.
Yeah. They're not trying to say, okay, Jerry, I'm ready to pay $100 to park here again for 10 games, plus everything else I got to go pay for.
Nui,
it's going to be this.
I got a parking hack for you. You know where I park every year at Jerry World? It's only $60. Condom World. It's right there next to Walmart, and it's $60.
Okay, I don't. I got the pass, so I'm good.
I'm good,
but $60.
$60. Everything else is a hundo.
What?
I'm just trying to save my employer's $40.
Parking?
Yeah.
Once again, hear about what you just said, man. We're talking about $60 being cheap. You go other places, man.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even pay that much. That's the racket that's going on down here. That's the hopium that people are not just ready to sign up for. By the way, you and I work for the same place. So go ahead and you can expense that, bro. You'll pay the $100.
Nui, I love you. Thank you for making time for us, dude. Thanks, man.
Have a great weekend and a happy Thanksgiving, guys.
All right, you too,
brother.
See
you in January.
Take care, man.
That's our boy, Nui Scruggs from Dallas. Dude, between Sean yesterday and Nui today.
They brought it, dog.
It is not good in Dallas.
Hell no.
It is not
and
good.
And the thing that Jerry has to understand, those people that do their jobs real well, they're not afraid of his crap.
Nah, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of people that do their jobs really well, I got to tell you about my friends at Better Appliances. I told you it was maybe like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, my dishwasher was acting up. I had to call him. It was earlier this week. I haven't even told you this, B. My dryer was not working. My dryer just stopped working. I kept turning it on, and these towels would not get dry, period. We sent these like a load of towels through the dryer 5 times, and they just weren't getting dry. I hit up Better Appliances. My guy Mark came out. He fixed it. Jeff, you know what the problem is? Apparently, I can't lay the pipe. Our piping going outside that takes the vent out was stuffed with lint. You got to get the lint out of the piping, Jeff. And my man Mark did it. Mark knows how to fix the pipes. Now the dryer's back working. I'm telling you, working with Better Appliances is so good for me and my family. They fix my dishwasher. They fix my dryer. And you need them at your house before the holidays. You're going to have people out there, and you're going to have your in-laws, and they're going to yell at you if the mashed potatoes don't get hot. You got to make sure your appliances are fully up and running. Check them out at Better Appliances. Now is the time to act if you need new appliances. Better is offering KitchenAid rebates up to $2,000 on appliances until the end of the year. I got a new KitchenAid dishwasher. It's awesome. Reach out to Better if you want details. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity of savings up to 2 G's before the end of the year. It's Better Appliances, B-E-T-T-A-R, Family-owned business located right there in Kensington. Been doing this a while. They do it really well. You can get services. You can get...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
New stuff installed. They come right away. I've really, really been impressed by these folks. You better call Better, betterappliance.com. BETTAR. Shout out to Matt Essig. Looks kind of hipster homeless today. Good for him. It's a cool look. Shout out to Nui Scruggs. If you missed any part of that interview, get on the Odyssey app, find it. Yo, the people from Dallas are going hard, B.
Oh, man.
Nui today, Sean Sharif yesterday. Woo!
What they used to say about me when I would call people. I was talking about that Daniel era.
Yeah, it seems like it's a real mess.
Well, think about it. Like, what happens in this situation is you can either be a person who runs something and you're respectful to people and you get their benefit of the doubt, or you can be an ass and you're going to get what they give you. And I think he's getting what he's what the people just want to give him because he is not being cool with them. Try to intimidate people and that type of stuff. That don't go over well.
Nah, sure doesn't. Okay, we've got some information. Dan Quinn spoke to the media. Let's start with the captains for this weekend. Tyler Biadasz, Dante Fowler, and Noah Igbinoghene. Brian, what do those three all have in common?
They all play professional football. And they played in a city called Dallas.
They all played in Dallas just last season.
Yes.
Actually, isn't it Arlington?
Arlington, but they're Dallas Cowboys. They're not the Arlington Cowboys.
You sound like Chris Kerwin right now. I don't think it's an accident at all that those three are the captains this week.
And whether they weren't or not, you know the teammates was going to vote them in.
Dude.
If the coaches didn't do it, the teammates are voting them in because one thing about teammates, they know where you're from and they want to win one for you.
I think this game's going to mean a lot to Joe Witt. I'm just calling my shot on that. We've got more news. Dan Quinn has informed the media. Marshawn Lattimore will not play Sunday. I think we kind of knew that by now. If you're not practicing and you haven't, it's one thing if you've been playing and then you don't practice a couple days because you know you can get back up to playing. He hadn't been playing.
I don't think that move was about this year per se. That move was about long-term stuff. The end of the season and the next two.
I kind of think it's both. I think it's I want to credit whoever asked. I don't know who asked, but whoever asked it was a good job. Somebody asked DQ specifically if they're just keeping Lattimore out until the bye, right? You get Cowboys, Titans, bye week. I'm reading now from Standig. Ben Standig said, Dan Quinn is hopeful about Marshawn Lattimore's availability next week against the Titans. There will surely be some debate over whether to rest the hamstring till after the bye. Keep in mind, they also play his old team, the Saints, week 15 after the bye. I remain patient on this Lattimore thing.
I'm with you on that.
If you get him and he's right, let's say it is just the last four games of the season. Ideally, they're playing five or six more, right? Like, this is not a season that ends in week 18.
See, what I mean by not this year, they didn't make that move to have him instantly on the field. That move is for, we happen to make the playoffs and he's healthy, and then going into next year, you got something there.
Right. If you get a star corner for what ultimately boils down to a third-round pick, It works.
Yeah.
Now, the next 2 years, he's under contract, $18 million cap number. There's no guarantees on there. I imagine they can work that out if he gets on the field and starts playing.
He starts playing and play like he's capable of playing.
Right.
That's the deal you work out.
I agree. I think that thing can work out. Is there a point in time where you start to think, all right, this was a bad move?
No.
This whole season?
Huh?
Like, if he doesn't play all year.
But the whole thing about it, like I'm telling you, Jay, you got him for how many years after this year? Two?
Two more. But
that is what this is about,
I don't
about,
know
more or less.
What it'll, like.
We never know what stuff is going to be like. But you tell me a healthy Marshawn Lattimore the next 2 years.
What I'm saying is, I don't know that he's into the next 2 years unless the contract changes. But, like, they can figure that out.
I'm sure
if you get him for a third.
If they went and signed him, they are willing to work something out, I believe.
I agree with you. They made the move. Everybody's talking, agents, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, things are happening here. And I am not worried about the Lattimore trade yet. If you choose to be, that's your own volition, and you're allowed to.
I'm not built like that. Myself that I can't control anyway.
Elsewhere, Austin Seibert hasn't kicked for two games. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn says Seibert is trending the right way. We'll know Saturday night because he'll have to elevate Gonzo. With a kicker,
it matters.
There's a lot of players where, okay, maybe you give them some runway, you put them out there at 85, 90%. A kicker for me, B?
Every time he goes out there, it's points.
I need 100% or nothing.
Yeah,
DC or nothing. I'm going with Gonzo unless Seibert is 99%.
I'm with that.
Now, Seibert said in the locker room, I talked to him for a brief moment. He was chatting up a bunch of reporters. Really nice guy. He said he thinks he's playing Sunday. I need 100% certainty with my kickers.
When that player thinks he's playing, he's basically have shown the coaches that he's capable of playing.
Agree. And then the last thing of note, I wanted to mention this to you, Brian. Robert Griffin III, RG3, will be at Northwest Stadium Sunday. He is the legend of the game.
Okay.
It's a simple okay.
Yep.
Landini, RG3's back. You fired up?
Not really.
Jeffrey?
Jeff is definitely
Beamish said okay. Landfill said not really. Maybe Jeff's in. Jeff said we should all bring croissants.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Jeff is hilarious.
I'm cool with him coming back, but we got to have a conversation. Me and Robert. Robert, if you're hearing this, which I doubt you are, we need to have a conversation, brother. Man to man.
What's that conversation about, Jeff?
Things that you just don't do.
Okay.
Things that you just don't do when representing Washington franchise. And putting a croissant to your face like that is one of them. Okay?
Robert, listen, I perhaps some would say I like to push the envelope a little.
Yeah, you do.
Robert loves to generate engagement.
Yes.
In all ways possible. And
I'm with that.
Like, I think I know most of the people that have been legends of the game so far this year, and I respect the hell out of them. But I'll say this, and I'll say this confidently. Nobody waved that flag like you did, B. Right now.
I waved it hard. I was swinging it.
Pause.
I was swinging it, dog.
I think you are the lead flag waiver of the season so far. I think Robert's going to try to swing that thing, dude. Are you worried about your chief flag waving
I'm
title?
I'm worried about nothing when it comes to anybody, no.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore will join the program at 1:15. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We had to talk to his agent, his producer, his handler. There's a lot going on. We were able to book Chris Russell.
Yeah, Chris Russell's the guy.
Said he doesn't want to come on and get his balls busted. I said, well, you probably got the wrong show, dude. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. On that note, thanks for the invite. It was
JP will be doing that. I don't deal with that.
By the way, I said I didn't want any of your food because I'm always accused of wanting your food and only coming to say hello because you had food. Now, I didn't know you had food.
Well, it may be because you always show up when food shows up.
I mean, I just got here as the food was showing up. What do you want from me?
Shout out to Mike Brand and Peg Quarter Sports 7. Yes. That cheesesteak was exactly what I needed.
But I'm not going to lie,
it's so damn good.
If it's 100 times that food show up, you show up 100 times.
No, okay. B doesn't even like give me a little discount at 99.
Why would I do that?
Here's what else is weird. Now you're doing this whole like holier than thou that you're not even taking a wing. We got buffalo wings. You're for Buffalo. You can have one.
I want B's carrot juice or whatever healthy stuff he's
Listen,
got.
That might be the healthy stuff. The stuff over here ain't carrot juice. It's Friday, baby. Roostizzle.
Those days are gone.
We had Sean Sharif on the program yesterday from 105.3 down in Dallas, right?
I've known Sean for a long time.
Good dude.
Big time Redskins fan.
He told us a story that he played HTTR for Jerry on the radio.
Yeah.
We just had Nui Scruggs, a friend of ours, on.
Sure.
The folks down in Dallas
throwing haymakers.
Are going hard.
Nui's funny.
Yeah,
I didn't realize he was that funny.
Oh, Nui's great.
He's funny.
I've had a few dinners with Nui. He's very funny. Those guys think this joint is over.
Yeah.
I think Washington should roll in this. I don't feel as confidently as they do. B hates these types of conversations.
Sure in the hell do.
How do you see this game going Sunday?
I mean, I hate thinking that this team is just going to automatically wake up, flip the switch on after two games against two really tough opponents. And just because the Cowboys appear dreadful, to think that they're going to rock and roll and put up a 35-40 burger, I hate to think that, but they're probably going to do that. And that's great, obviously, for the fans that are there and for the fans that hate the Dallas Cowboys. Me personally, I don't hate the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry, this is just not the way I'm built. Well, you played for this team. I didn't, you know? I mean, so you should probably hate them. I don't hate them, but I don't like them. I think they're a clown show. I want them to be embarrassed. I mean, you know, I like one dude on their coaching staff that I happen to know, and that's it. I feel bad that he's getting fired, but, you know, the bottom line is
who's that
they're
guy?
A terrible team. They're a terrible team.
Who's the guy that you like?
I'll share that with you off the air. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? They should win this game by 13 to 17 points.
Yeah,
I'm with that.
I call this game the narrative extinguisher. They have a point. They have a chance to eliminate the conversations that have been happening with some this week. Jaden ain't right. Cliff ain't right. Whatever. Yeah.
Some people they will never shut down all the narratives with.
Well, here's my question. Like, not to jump too far ahead, right? If they come out and they 35 points, and say win 35 to 17, let's just say. Like, people are going to feel good about that. People are going to think the offense is back. But then that doesn't mean they're going to be able to carry that momentum over against an actually good defense, not the one that they're going to play this Sunday, the next Sunday against Tennessee, you know, before the bye. So to me, I look at this as more than a one-game sample size moving forward. Like, I have to take everything that happened Sunday, even if it's good, really good, with some level of context or with some level of a grain of salt here, boys.
Yeah, sea salt.
As you see my sea salt grinder there.
I asked you a question, though. How many games did you think they were going to win at the beginning of the season? What was your?
Oh, I said 7, 9, and right. 1. So I was wrong.
They're already at 7, okay? So they already have done what you thought.
Yeah. Believe it or not, B, I'm wrong sometimes.
But no, I'm just saying, where does it not sit? And I think I say this for most people. Mm-hmm. When you think a team is supposed to be a certain level and they reach that and they probably will exceed that, how do you, a lot of people, I think, once they get to the point, then they now want to judge them even more harshly.
Right.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm judging them more harshly, but I would say
I'm leaning towards you on that comment.
Okay.
I'm just saying I hear that a lot.
But
see people move there.
Yeah.
They always move in the damn goal line.
No, I got you. I would say for me, my prism has been adjusted, right? Like, okay,
but
I thought they
would
be.
You can adjust your prism and want them to be better without then condemning them for already being ahead of the schedule.
Absolutely.
And maybe not as good as we randomly thought at 5-2.
I think the only thing that would be a real hard pill, disappointment, whatever you want to call it, for the fan base and media to take is if the two-game losing streak turns into a seven-game losing streak, and they or seven-game? Yeah, seven-game losing streak, and they lose out, right? I think that would
what
be the only—
What the hell are you talking about? They're not going to lose out.
Well,
dude.
I know, but I'm just saying overall. That,
I think that so, is my pushing point the is, hypothetical is every, needle too far.
Yeah, I know, but my point is everything is above water. Even if it doesn't go as great as it did the first nine games of the year, everything is above water at this point.
I talked to a friend of mine, a friend of the show's, Pete Brascia, last night.
You got
at
a
MGM.
Lot of 20s hanging out over there.
I was at the casino, dog.
I'm eyeing that stash.
I mean, hell, you're looking at the 20s.
He's not only follow a fool, he looks at money.
But you got a nose, dog.
Man, I got to get some of that TV money.
That's casino money, yeah. Man. I was talking to Pete Brascia last night at MGM, and he said, and Pete listens to our show, he listens to the station. He's like, man, people got a level set. This team wasn't supposed to be good, and they're good. Yeah. And I think on some level, we have like a responsibility to remind folks of that. And
I say that every day.
You did it to Santana. You're doing it to me. You're turning my brain into B-Mitch. They're so far ahead.
Right.
And I think you're telling me you're not happy if they win 30-17 because they got to score 40. Put up 30.
I didn't
get back
that.
On track. I'm good with it.
No, I didn't. First of all, I didn't say it. If I said that, I didn't certainly mean it like that. That I'm not happy if they only score 30. What I'm saying is, I don't know how to interpret that the offense is back. If say they lay a 30-35 spot on Dallas, a stinky defense, right? Nice way I can say it. Joe Mixon ran right through them the other night. We know they struggle to stop the run. We know they haven't had De'Ron Bland all year. Probably getting him back for a couple of snaps. In this game, we understand that they are not a great defense. But what I am saying is, for me, this is just me, the way my brain operates, is whatever happens on Sunday, hopefully it'll be impressive. Hopefully people will feel good. Hopefully people will feel like the offense is back on track. And hopefully it'll be a win. And then we move on to Tennessee, and I'm already thinking in my mind, okay, show me that again. Then I'll know. Then I'll know the offense is truly back on track, and we're ready to rock and roll into January. If you then come out and lay an egg against Tennessee, I'm still back in the, I'm not sure. Can you light up like a Christmas tree a good opponent? And that's just me. That's just the way my brain operates. I'm not saying not for everybody. Clearly, I'm not for everybody.
Did they not lay 27 points on Steelers defense that I consider very good?
Yeah, I mean, I take seven away from the turnover on the fake punt, but whatever.
But
yeah.
Still, you it's a turnover, and they had two – touchdowns dropped.
Yeah.
So no, I don't. Right. I think when people look at the Steelers game, you can't knock the offense or the Steelers game.
That's fair.
Real quick, Roost, we talk about the hypothetical train getting too far, and I know you have a show coming up at 2 o'clock.
Right.
And we have to break. Landfill's going to yell at me.
Yeah, I got an hour to eat.
Just real quick.
All your food.
Speaking of the hypothetical train going too far, I saw a tweet from the official Team 980 account that said, Chris Russell wonders if Kyle Shanahan could be back as offensive coordinator.
Yeah, okay.
So, here's the deal. Current defending NFC champ.
I showed you the lunatic that was yelling and screaming about Kyle getting fired. He's not the only one, but he's the one leading the charge, okay? So if Kyle were to get fired in San Francisco, and there's been plenty of rumors.
This is bananas.
What I said was, if Kyle decided not to want to be a head coach or not wanting one of the opportunities,
because
there are some crappy opportunities
keep
out there.
It out.
If Kyle wanted to take a year off or maybe take a step back and spend a little more time with his family, maybe he can be, I don't know, an offensive consultant or whatever. Somebody. And I said, if Cliff Kingsbury were to leave,
All right.
Then
I love you. God bless you.
Just
go get some chicken wings.
I'm just
Wendy's here. We got to take a break. Governor Moore at 1:15.
Let's go.